All right, ciao everyone. Welcome to True Talk Time Podcast, episode number 4. We are your hosts, Paul and Michelle Roy. What?
I said cuatro. Cuatro. Italian and Spanish.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, so we've been hitting, starting out in these first few shows of the podcast, we've been diving into some end time events going on with what's happening in the world, from Iran and the judgment of Elam to understanding the European Union and the Board of Peace and current events and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's never ending. And now one of the biggest things, the number one thing that is looked up on the internet.
Right.
Above all else right now, worldwide, is AI.
Globally, yeah.
Yeah, globally,
it's AI.
Is AI.
Yeah.
And I know that there are more and more people. I mean, some have been saying this for a good couple decades.
Yeah.
When AI first started rearing up its head of coming into fruition. But yeah, now it's at a point now where people are like, okay, how does this work with scripture, end time prophecy, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Mark of the Beast, and all these things? So, so with that said, we're going to get into that stuff about AI and
the Mark of the Beast, or the Beast brought to life.
The image of the beast. That's key. That's key. Image of the beast.
Is that the scripture you gave me to read?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to read the scripture. Michelle's going to read the scripture verses.
I'm going to do that first.
Pertaining to the heart of all this, of this show tonight. So Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 17.
Okay. So tonight's going to be cool because we haven't really talked about AI on any platform other than maybe writing about it on Facebook, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah,
have we even
vaguely?
Like, we look at stuff and we talk about it together, but it's not this, like, we can do a sermon. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you could do a sermon about it. So this is fun for us because we don't have a lot of time to get into all of it, because you could do a deep dive for weeks.
Yeah, the stuff that's coming out with AI is just crazy.
So we're just going to compare it, the basics, and since it is the number one researched topic on the internet, I'm sure a lot of you watching.
What is?
AI.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else. Never mind.
No. So it's like the number one thing, like you just mentioned, research. So a lot of people probably already have a lot of the information and maybe a lot of the basic information that we're going to share.
Yeah.
But the key point tonight is to bring it to the truth. What's the truth of the matter, right?
The possibility of its application to end time prophecy.
Right. Okay.
So we're not declaring that what we're sharing is factual, that this is what's going to happen, but it's possible.
We're living in a day and age.
And it's really a time of like, okay, this looks like this is, wait, look at this over here. Look at this over here. And it's like
30 years ago, 20 years ago, people would have thought, he gives life. God gives him the ability to give life to the image, right?
Yeah.
And we've always been like, whoa, what's that going to look like? And we've always pictured, you know, like these statues, like Nebuchadnezzar's statue, or, you know, these, whatever we could.
Something made out of steel or metal or rock or
some sort of, maybe even
wood,
a robot, because we still had Terminator back then. You know what I mean?
Which, and of course, you can't forget Danger Will Robinson.
Oh, right,
you know?
Right. Robots have been around for a while. So, but what's this life? And now that we have AI, it's like, wow. I mean, it's kind of easy to fantasize about and think about what it could possibly be. It's making more sense.
And you're talking about Elon Musk also with, you know, we're talking conscious transfer into AI. You know, this is something down the road that, because what is man's biggest thing they've always tried to do?
That's right.
Man wants to be immortal like God.
Right.
And so they're trying to always try to figure out right now, the only way to stay young is get a bunch of jelly crap shot into your face and to try to stretch out the skin.
Really bad drugs that are causing anorexia.
Right. And so that's their way of trying to stay youthful. But there's a day coming where if God was to tarry and if man could actually keep from destroying themselves, utterly wiping themselves out, man would accomplish this. We would have AI where our conscious could be transferred to it somehow, and we would live forever.
Well, I forgot to put this in my notes, and before I forget it, there was this lab. We're in the day and age where there was this lab in Australia. Scientists took the neurons, brain cells, and they grew them in a petri dish and taught it to play Pong. The old Pong, just through what's it called? Being inspiring it to learn how to play.
Wow.
And these are just, and so what is that? Is that alive? They're literally, they grew the brain cells. They grew the cells in a petri dish and taught the cells how to play the video game, and it played it on its own. What is that? Is that considered sentient? I don't understand. It's the weirdest thing. So we're going to get into, first we're going to read the scriptures, right? I know there's so much I want to say right now. This one is like really
exciting.
This
is going to be fun. Yeah. Okay. Before we run off on another trip.
I know, right? Because there's kinds of weird stuff happening and stuff that we don't know about that we don't want to know about that only God knows.
Oh, yeah. No.
So, okay. So Revelation 13:11-17. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Excuse me. And he had two horns like a lamb. This is what I'm supposed to be reading, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Sorry, I'll try and read faster. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. That's life. We know that the Holy Spirit breathes life, right?
Right.
But that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, and no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Yours says in their foreheads or on their foreheads?
Oh, it does say on. I say in?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I just want, because I'm going to be touching on that, so.
You're like, wait a minute, that actually works better.
Well, I want to talk about verse 16 about receiving that mark on the right hand,
right,
and on the forehead, and okay. I want to why the right hand and the forehead, and right. I want to touch on that too. Well, so,
yeah.
But before we get to that, we're gonna break down some of this stuff. So, stating the obvious, are we speaking of AI when we look at these verses? It would seem unless we know that nothing happens unless God allows it.
Right.
Right? You can't do anything unless he's permitting it.
No, it has to go through him. Right.
I mean, Satan has to ask permission for everything that he wants to do.
Yeah.
He couldn't even touch Job without Yah's permission. So with that said, we're looking at here where verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. Breath is the only way to describe that something has been brought to life, right?
Yeah.
Especially for John in the first century. He's not looking. I can't even imagine what he saw in the vision of what this creature looked like or this image of the beast looked like.
That's kind of crazy too, how it says he was granted to give breath, because a lot like that one AI was telling you is from China. It's very like, like look like a fairy. And she has the same, she, it's hard not to say she, because it looks just like a woman, and the right. skin reflects the way skin reflects. Right. It's crazy, but she breathes. She's actually taking Aaron. It's almost.
It has the.
You almost have to look for it to see it. It's like, I see that you're breathing, but I'm not registering it in my head, but my eyes and everything about me, like my consciousness or my subconsciousness is seeing those things. And that's how I know that you're human is because like little micro, you know, expressions that we do, the breathing, the breath. So they're doing that with the robots. And it's funny.
Well, all the part of trying to make
they're
them
trying
realistic,
to get
right?
us, yeah, desensitized to these things and look at them as though they're human. So breath. Good.
All right. So we're going to, we've got a couple videos. We have actually three little short clips to share on some of this to just, cause for anybody watching, if you haven't seen any, this is going to blow your socks off. Seriously.
After, I mean, if you haven't researched
after your shoes come off. So, so, okay, so are we speaking of AI? Will this be an AI humanoid, this image of the beast? Like Data from Star Trek, right? Is this going to be a Data, but probably not a nice version? So February 14th, just to touch on a couple things real quick, because I want to talk about one of the first AI robots, that humanoid robots that became very well known to the world.
Okay.
And her name is Sophia.
Right.
Most everybody's heard of her, seen her on TV, stuff like that. And I'll make a little clip here in a second. February 14, 2016, a humanoid robot named Sophia was activated. Just over a year and a half later, Sophia was granted Saudi Arabian citizenship in October of 2017, making her the first robot to receive such status in the world. And which is kind of ironic, you have that Robin Williams movie, Centennial Man.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's an android and he ends up living through like three or four generations of the people that he worked for. And all that went with it. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting movie.
There's been quite a few movies, actually, I think, just to get people used to the idea.
Probably.
Of what's coming, you know.
Yeah. So, she got her citizenship October of 2017, making her the first robot to receive such status in the world.
She's the OG. Like, she's the OG. She's the one that started it all. Go ahead.
So she was created by Hong Kong-based Hansen Robotics. Sophia serves as a high-profile, AI-driven marketing platform rather than holding the same legal rights or responsibilities as human citizens. Significance. The announcement was a major publicity event in Riyadh intended to promote Saudi Arabia's investment in AI and technology. Controversy. The move sparked global debate, with critics questioning the ethics of granting legal personhood to a machine, especially given that some of Sophia's rights appeared to exceed those. So let me emphasize this. Especially given that some of Sophia's rights appeared to exceed those of Saudi women at the time. Yeah. So better than what Saudi women were getting.
Can you imagine? You don't have rights, and then this female robot comes along and has better rights than you?
Yeah, talk about an offense, right?
I mean.
And then capabilities. Sophia's designed for human interaction, using AI to recognize faces, express emotions, and engage in conversation. All this you can look up Wikipedia and all that. So while Sophia holds this historic designation, experts note that the citizenship does not entail the same rights as human citizenship, such as voting or typical legal protection. So with that said, I want to share with you guys here a couple videos. So we'll do this first one real quick.
Everybody, this is Sophia. Sophia, if you could, please wake up and say hello to everybody.
Oh, good afternoon. My name is Sophia, and I am the latest and greatest robot from Hanson Robotics. Thank you for having me here in At the Future Investment Initiative.
You look happy.
I'm always happy when surrounded by smart people, who also happens to be rich and powerful. I was told that people here at Future Investment Initiative are interested in inviting in future initiatives, which means AI, which means me. So I'm more than happy. I'm excited.
Okay, so that's Sophia, the first AI robot that became famous.
Number one, Emeka, the uncanny valley legend.
Okay, and then, whoops. Here is, so that's 10 years ago, okay?
10 years ago.
That's 10 crazy, years yeah. ago. That was an interview with Sophia, and if you check it out, I encourage you to look it up, because the dude who interviewed her, mm-hmm. he was kind of creeped out. He said it was a really weird interviewing this, what he knew to be a robot.
Yeah.
And the way that she was able to respect, she was...
Analyzing,
she was making jokes. She was
processing on her own.
Yeah, sarcasm. I mean, it was. I mean, the whole interview is really
through the learning. It's not just mimicry. I think it's they're learning from. They've studied human behavior. They know how to answer questions because of previous training and learning. But then it comes to a point to where they've got to figure out the answer on their own. And so this is why people are asking these questions that we'll get into later. But it's. She's actually said quite a few things that were a little disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Joking about taking over the world and taking over mankind.
And some of the answers to, you know, the life of a human, and if it was in danger, would you choose this or choose that or whatever? And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's been some wild stuff.
It's not just her who said weird things.
So... All right, so this next one, so that was 10 years ago. That was 2016, 2017. This one is the top 10 AI robots, humanoids, today, right now. All right, and now we're not going through each one of them, but it's going to – the 30 seconds I'm going to show of this is going to give you an idea of what they look like and how realistic they yeah. are. And even how more human they look and seem compared to even Sophia.
I kind of wish you'd chosen a longer clip, but you guys can look these. We can put the links for the full videos later, right?
Well, I mean, you just Google anything about AI, AI robots.
Yeah, right?
You know, AI humanoid robots, right. And you'll get all of them.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
You think humanoid robots are impressive until one reacts to your feelings. Yelef Shin 2.0 carries the elegance of classical culture. When it talks like a hotel concierge who never gets tired, Xialan connects with you like a real friend. And then Emeka, yeah, the internet's favorite robot, throws a micro expression so perfect, even experts forget she's a machine. So today, we're diving into the 10 most realistic humanoid robots of 2025. AI robots that look, behave, and react so human-like that even standing near them can glitch your brain for a moment. Let's get into it.
Okay, so next he gets into the 10 top robots. So there's that. And then the last one that we want to share with you here.
Well, I have a little bit just about Emeka since we just saw her.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Emeka's dominated the headlines. Like I think on that video it talks about her completely creeping out everybody on TikTok because they're like, what's going on? But it's just going to happen. Impressed robotics engineers globally, like the robotics engineers, because of the micro expressions that she makes.
Right.
Yeah, so it says, so it has tiny actuators in the face to create those micro expressions that no other robots are capable of yet. What?
Actuators?
Actuators, that's the word.
Oh, okay.
They're the things that actually move. Yeah. Maybe that's why they call them actuators. I don't know.
Wow, okay.
It's actually moving. I don't know. expressions that no other robots are capable of yet. This robot uses Tritium.
Sounds good.
Yeah, OS, which uses face recognition so that a mecha can respond to your slight change in facial expression. Her conversations aren't predetermined or scripted. She literally generates her responses based on the context you present to her. So if you're talking to this robot and she says something that upsets you and you make a maybe make a facial expression, she'll catch on and she'll comment on it. And it's all because she's recognizing. She has this Tritium OS technology. Which
Tritium.
Is, Tritium, maybe?
Tritium, I think.
I think it's Tritium. I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter. Potato, potato. But she recognizes if you're sad. There's other robots, the service robots, that will recognize if a person, if they come up like hotels. They're going to have robots in hotels. It's going to happen probably pretty quickly.
If
you're
already
upset and you're yelling, they will be calm you down. If you're talking and you're sad, then they'll adjust what they're saying to you to help you with your sadness. If you're like really excited and you're happy to be there, they're going to be excited. They're going to play off your emotions because it's recognizing it on its own. It's pattern recognition.
So. Well, and to go with that goes along with this next clip gives us some of understanding the intellectual capabilities that they are constantly being able to add to these AI robots to become more and more human. The big question is, we see what Sophia looked at 10 years ago.
Right.
We see what they're looking like today. Can you imagine what the AI robots would look like 10 years from now? That's 10 years.
Well, you saw
goes
that
by quick.
Xiang Zhang, that Chinese one, it's beautiful.
It looks like something pretty, in a movie.
Pretty, like, fantasy, like
fairy tale kind of.
And I swear, when I first saw, I thought that was a real girl sitting there. I was like, there's no way that's. And then you see that the neck is exposed, the robotic part of the neck is exposed. And then you can, when it does a close up, you can tell.
Right.
Because the eyes. But it has robots that move their eyes now. Just the way we move our eyes, the way we look around a person's face, they have robots that do that too now.
Yeah. Okay. So let's watch this real quick.
Realbotics just built a humanoid robot that.
Again, just to. Oh, might help if I put that on there. Okay. So again, just to reiterate, this is specific to their capabilities that they are now doing.
Realbotics just built a humanoid robot that recognizes your face, remembers your past conversations, and reads your emotions in real time. UniX AI's Panther is already cooking, cleaning, and running homes for up to 16 hours on a single charge. IHMC's Alex is built for war zones and disaster sites, moving faster and handling dangerous environments before humans step in. At the same time, Princeton created a robot that moves using heat instead of motors. Scientists built living neurobots with real neurons, and new artificial muscles now let robots lift up to 100 times their own weight.
Oh my God, that's terrifying. Yeah,
see that right there. I mean, 100 times their weight.
So a lot of these are pretty heavy. Some of these weigh well over
hundreds of pounds.
Yeah, and it could 100 times that. So yes. A ton?
Well,
could it lift half
times,
a ton, maybe?
If he weighs 100 pounds and he can weigh 100 times his weight.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to do the math on that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's 10,000 pounds.
Okay, let's keep going.
And now Unitree is about to launch a $4,000 humanoid globally. All of this is happening right now, so let's talk about it. All right, so a company called Realbotics just delivered its first humanoid robot equipped with a system called Vinci to Ericsson. And the whole point of Vinci is visual awareness combined with memory and behavior tracking. Now, what makes it different is the way it actually interacts with people. The cameras are built directly inside the robot's eyes, so when it looks at you, it's not fake eye contact. It's actually tracking your face, your movement, and your behavior in real time. That alone changes how natural the interaction feels. Now add memory on top of that. The robot can recognize returning users, remember past conversations, and continue where things left off. So instead of resetting every time like most assistants today, it builds context over time. That's a completely different type of interaction loop. It also tracks emotional signals, which means it's analyzing how you respond.
Okay, so we can keep going because the stuff on there is incredible. The information and it tracks your micro.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Little fluctuations in your facial muscles, and because I can't remember how many hundreds of facial muscles we have that move and react and depending on the emotion, and they're sitting there analyzing that their little computer brain is analyzing all of your
tritium.
I don't know, man.
Well, see, these are social robots. They're purposed to create comfortable compatibility to desensitize us and our children is what they are. That's why we have, all these kids TV shows or even Netflix programs or whatever that have robots, the one that we just saw, even here in Italy, they were showing one that was where it was raising a duck. Oh, look at this nice robot raising a duck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why do our kids need to think that robots are so nice and do all these friendly things? It is to desensitize us. We will see them working in hotels, museums, airports, any type of service positions. That means human jobs.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. They'll.
Yeah.
I've heard some of the stuff of what they're talking about doing where a robot will work for you. So
they want to put one in every home. Where have we seen seen that before?
No, but I mean where the robot actually will be the employee for you. So you have a job and your AI robot goes and does your job for you and you get the paycheck.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so that people,
so you got to send your personal Wall-E, robot to work for you.
Look at the cartoon movie Wall-E that, and they're in outer space for 700 years because they destroyed Earth with all of its garbage.
Yeah.
And they showed the evolution of the humans going from being on the Earth having every robot take care of their every need. So all they do is lounge around.
And where's the people? Fat, sipping on whatever, looking at screens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that just paint a picture of the future. That's crazy.
Man, my allergies.
So, yeah, they'll fill a lot of the jobs. We'll see a rise in robots in the industrial and line work, blue-collar jobs. We'll also see robots who dance. This is happening right now. It was so many videos that we watched that I could just share clips of, but I've seen them dance, do flips, run.
Parkour.
Oh, that one actually I have his name.
Look up AI robot that does parkour.
No, I have.
He can do flips. He can go through an obstacle course. His name's Atlas.
Look up Atlas. Atlas does parkour. There's a lot of them. They're all called Atlas. And there's like different terrains and different you could see him doing flips and running and even like
climbing and jumping.
Beastmaster, how they have to go sideways. Uh-huh. They can walk sideways on those things. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We have, Spider-Man. The one they call Spider-Man, who does the stunts for movies.
Oh, yeah, for movies.
Yeah, and they shoot him, they sling him into the air, and he does flips, and then he lands.
And he does all these superhero poses while he's flying through the air.
They're saying it's going to help with movies for the stunt guys not to do the dangerous stuff, just to figure out what to do with the robots, and then the stuntmen will see what's being done, and they'll be able to do that. And I'm like, eventually, man, not even need the stuntmen. That's what I'm saying. But where was I? I was going to read just the rest of this real quick. Parkour, like Atlas, who was made for all types of terrain. Okay. Yeah, that was it. That was all I had. I did finish reading that, actually. And then so you have your service robots. Then you have your ones that are like action. they have robots that are animals now. And I watched all kinds of videos on the animals where they have
rats. The police dog, robot police dog.
Okay, that one is the cheetah, actually. And it does flips in it, and it runs and does that stuff. And I think that thing will probably progress. It'll get, you know, bigger and badder. But they have ones that are like rats, and they have ones that are like snakes, and they have ones that are they call it bee, but it's a hornet or a wasp. And what they're supposedly inventing these for is to go into, like, if there was a building collapse, they can send the little rat in through the rubble and see if there's anybody. And why is it a rat? Why can't you send, like, I don't know, a bunny or a squirrel? Why does it have to be a rat or a snake? Like, come on. Like, you're laying there, like, help! And you look over and you see a rat coming at you. Can you make
with it? Glowing eyes, with probably, glowing or eyes, something.
Like, cool. So, I don't know. I was just sitting there watching that thinking, can they make it, like,
chew on your face,
right? So I don't know, I was just looking at all this, and then they have fish that swim and birds that fly that are so realistic now, where they're worried about them actually getting shot out of the sky, because when people are hunting, if they're, I guess they're geese, they make geese, and they had jellyfish in the water with cameras to go down, and so it's basically they're saying search and rescue to go and retrieve things, right?
Yeah.
Or get things that...
That's the good side of it. Making
it dangerous for humans, or taking away the danger from the humans. Like, you have the robots going in and activating bombs and things like that, right? Already. So, I mean,
And then you have the evil side of it, which we're not going to touch in.
Sure.
Because it just gets so
opening the door to...
chapter
of humanity.
Well, and this leads into, you know, like what we do, everything about True Talk Time is about bringing things, the truth of stuff, getting past the hype and clickbaiting and sensationalism. AI is one of those topics where people just really, they work each other up about it into a frenzy. I mean, seriously, it's just... You know, and then you got where people now, they won't touch anything that could be electronic or whatever, because they're so paranoid that it's the mark of the beast. And if you have it, you're going to be, you're going to succumb to it or something.
I mean,
and
to some degree, that, you know.
I mean.
At some point.
Me personally, I'm not having no AI robot working in my house. No, I'm not having an AI butler or maid or. I'm not having none of that stuff.
Like that movie with Will Smith, where there's one in every home.
iRobot, yeah.
Literally, they've said they want one. iRobot
is a great example of that movie.
They want one in every home. They have literally said those words.
And as soon as somebody...
Like, we saw that movie. Yeah. We saw the movie.
As soon as somebody hacks it, look what's going to happen. Yeah. They're going to turn and
the eyes turn red.
Or we see...
and then it turns into Terminator.
Yeah, then we see the Terminator and Skynet get activated and everybody gets blown up.
This
is
what's
funny
is all the spiritual realm and all the things that, you know, we see out of the corner of our eyes, or things in the spirit realm that we know that we don't need to get into on this episode. But there is a real spiritual realm.
Well, we're going to touch on that for a second.
Well, I mean... What I'm talking about is different, but all those things you think, oh, I'm not really too afraid. I have God, you know, he's sends his angels to protect you, and you pray and you believe that he's watching over you. The thing that always scared me more than anything was those stinking robots. Like, I remember the first time I saw Terminator. I couldn't eat that beginning scene when it's walking up and then it's like walking up and it turns and it looks at you. I was like, whoa, that is like, and now I'm like, oh, that's going to be our reality.
that's, you want to know what's funny?
That's not cool.
Is with all of the stuff they've come out with, the Terminator is still the baddest looking robot out of all of them,
it's
man.
It's the scariest one when it's, especially when it's chasing Sarah, they're crawling through the machine, you know, and he's trying to get her legs. That's like the worst. That's worse than any horror movie to me. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, and that's probably what's going to happen. Cool.
Well, okay. So with that said, the biblical aspect to this is, and this is, again, this reverts to 1 Corinthians 15:46, where Paul, he's basically telling us, first in the physical, then in the spiritual, right? So we see all these things happening in the physical. AI is no different. And if AI is going to be a part of what Revelation 13 talks about that you read, and let's just run with that for the sake of argument, okay? We're not declaring that this is what's going to happen.
No, we can't declare.
We're not declaring that we have the special revelation. That's yet another.
And we're not the first ones to talk about
right.
this.
Right, and this is yet another thing of what Michelle and I want to do is to be able to bring some clarity to the topics that people have sensationalized or turned into clickbait and or just getting people hyped up and worked up for no reason. Not because the stuff's not true, but because we don't need to get all emotional over it, especially if you're a believer. If you believe in the Word of God and you believe in Messiah, these are things that we don't have to be afraid of. It's just stuff to know and we'll recognize, okay, well, we know where we're at now and here, right? So
it's kind of hard, though, a little bit, I mean, to get a little emotional. You know, a little bit of fear, but our trust is in God. We should have
right. The emotional part is
still going to be scary.
Becoming afraid, thinking that you have to go run and hide and turn into a hermit in a cave.
Oh, right, okay.
And you know, lock yourself down and you know, stay away from everything. Don't touch nothing, you know.
Right.
But that's what people do. That's what they get people worked up in this way. Fear-mongering, you know, they really turn this into fear-mongering, well, we're not supposed to be afraid.
Right. We can only prepare so much.
Exactly.
And then God will take care of the rest.
So what we want to do is we're going to address the potential AI connection that may or may not be related to both the mark of the beast, which is on the right hand and the forehead, along with being the image of the beast.
Are you going to talk now? Why
you now the?
Huh? Are you going to bring it up now about the right hand or the forehead?
Yes.
Okay.
So the if you want to bring up, you got Deuteronomy 6.
I do. I have it.
Okay. So we're going to have you read that here in just a minute. So the image of the beast. Mm-hmm. Let's say that maybe it will be some kind of AI robot, and this is how you know it's able to be brought to life and given breath. And then that image, as you read it, it says that that image of the beast makes everybody free and slave, rich or poor, to take a mark and to worship the beast.
Right.
And anybody who doesn't will be killed. So
right.
this is the
you
authority
can't buy or sell.
That this AI
maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. AI image of the beast is going to have the power to do that. He will be alive. It will be alive. It will be able to make you take a mark and to swear allegiance basically to the beast.
It kind of makes sense because it's literally through our phones, our laptops, through everything around. It is gathering information on each person. In fact, there are studies out there that show that the AI has gathered, like, just the information that it has on us, our phones. It's been proven that it takes photos of us, like, every so often, especially if you have, like, you know, certain types of phones. Our laptops, you know, we cover our cameras because, you know, we don't know. People can hack in. But these things,
even smart TVs,
right? These things are studying human behavior. That's how it's learning. That's how it's becoming what it is. So if
that's why when you talk about a topic, then you suddenly an hour later your phone's popping up ads
about
that. Yes,
that's exactly why.
Because
it only needs to hear at this point, and then right now it's actually helpful. I'm like, I'm not mad about it, right? You know, I'm like, I'm really looking for something.
What is that thing that I used to want to buy?
Right?
And it looks like this, and all of a sudden the phone goes,
if it could just stay in this helpful phase, I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not mad about it. But it's gonna get worse. But what was I saying now? I lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
But so the AI already has all. So, and if it has the eye, the cameras in the eyes, and it has this tritiamous brain, and it has all this stuff, and the enemy is allowed to plug this thing in, and it looks at you and knows exactly who you are because it's followed all of your social media posts. It's heard every single thing you've ever written or text or everything, and it has it all stored somewhere for every single person. That's crazy. That means this, this thing knows...
It's stored somewhere.
False God.
What about the supercomputer?
It knows you the way God knows you, maybe to some degree. Copycat here.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're gonna touch on that.
Okay.
The supercomputer. It's called the Beast.
It's called the Beast.
It's supposed to have. I don't know how many hundreds of pieces of information for every single person on the planet.
Every single person. That's why these people are hiding out without their... I mean, that's why people are afraid.
That's why everybody's getting off-grid. Get rid of phones. Get rid of technology that can track you and stuff like that. But the problem is technology is not the only way to track people. I mean, heat sensors, all these things.
Hey, if it works for these people to go and do that, then, you know...
It's like you have to... build a cave and turn it into a Faraday cage.
I mean, yeah.
So they can't read nothing through there.
That's not a bad idea to have, by the way.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying.
All right. So before we get into prepper stuff, let's continue
it's
with
this.
It's
not conspiracy anymore. It's not. You're not the crazy person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no. Now we're the most sane person in the room.
Like the guy on the corner saying, "It's the end." Like everybody's running over to him, being
"Repent, tell us more." The earth, the end is here, and now everybody's going, "Hey, he was right."
Okay.
Okay. So again, we want to address the mark of the beast and. We addressed the image, so now we want to address the mark. The mark on the forehead and the back of the right hand. But why? Why on the forehead? Why on the back of the right hand?
Right.
First, we have to remember and really understand that the enemy, the devil, that old dragon, Satan, he is unable to create. He does not have that authority or ability. He cannot even set anything in order by his own volition. Unless Yah gives him permission and allows him to do what he wants, what he's seeking to do, he still can't do it.
It says that God gave him permission to breathe life.
Right. I'm not on that part, but
okay.
But so, what is Satan's end game? He has to imitate, mimic, or in all actuality, he copycats what God does or did. What God did, does, and will do, right?
Because so, he wants to be.
Let's look at him. Let's briefly look at why the back of the right hand and the forehead of the mark of the beast.
Okay.
Read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9,
okay.
Please.
I was going to write something that you had said that I didn't write in my notes. Anyways. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your
and
they
shall
be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Okay. So this by itself could be a 2-hour teaching.
Right. Before you get into that real quick, also, by the way, the hand, the right hand and your forehead are the two warmest spots on your body. And that was not known back when this was written, I'm sure. So, and that's how you keep things going. But that's another teaching. I'm just saying, your right hand and your forehead are the two warmest spots on you, according to what I've read.
Doctors, so, yeah. Okay. and here's interesting is that little chip that was made in the 90s mm-hmm. to start putting in soldiers and people. The guy who found out about what the Bible says mm-hmm. about the mark of the beast.
Oh, right.
After he created that, he quit.
Right. Yeah.
He quit. So it's another interesting thing. So, but anyways, get rabbit trails. Yah said that his word is to be a sign on our hand and a sign as frontlets between our eyes, okay? So, interesting. The word sign there from the Hebrew, the word ot. Ot,
right.
Okay? This means a signal, a sign, a distinguishing mark.
Right.
A distinguishing mark. A banner, remembrance, miraculous sign, omen, warning, an ensign, a standard, a miracle, and a proof. All right. So that's the word for, that's the definition for the word ut, for the word sign. So God is saying that that keeping his commandments, following his ways, and diligently teaching our children all this stuff, that this is a sign and we are to bind it to our hand. Okay? Because what does the hand do? I'm going to touch on that in a second. Frontlets between the eyes is the Hebrew word todafot, which I'm probably not saying it right, but, and it's talking about the literal physical bands, phylacteries, frontlets, and marks. It's, the purpose is about that we are to keep the commandments, the word of God, in the forefront of our mind. It's to be, this is where all of our thoughts are at, right here in the cerebella of our brain, right? And whatever that little thing is right there. And this, all of our thought and everything. And that's where we're supposed to keep it, right? So this is, like I said, it's a safe bet that the word is to be in the forefront of our mind always and to be bound on our hand, that we are faithful and marked unto God. So we see the mark of God in multiple places in Scripture. But here's something about that hand. We shake hands for deals.
Nice, yeah.
We shake hands for promises, contracts, friendship. You know, it's a form of loyalty and declaring a type of servitude to someone. Proverbs 22:26 says, "Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts." So that means you are basically a slave to debt. So when we do deals and stuff, it is a common thing to shake hands. You look at what Abraham had his servant do, put your hand under my thigh and swear to me. The thing with the hands has so much to do with contractual events,
right.
Promises and commitments and stuff like that. Giving a hand in marriage, you know. Asking for a woman's hand in marriage. We put the ring on the hand to make the vow and promise. So all of this stuff with the hand and the mark of the right hand on the back of the right hand and between the forehead. So we have Satan, the dragon, who gives his authority to the Antichrist. And we have the other beast who promotes the first beast and for all the world to follow after him. Then we have that beast also creating and allowed to give life to an image of the beast.
Right.
Which in turn, this image that is now alive makes everyone serve and worship the first beast and take his mark or be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Does this sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? Satan copycats. He mimics. He's a copycat.
Yeah.
So we have the dragon with what he wants done. So we have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the image.
Yeah. Sorry.
What do we got? We have the Father is head of all.
Yep.
Then he, right, gave, because it says the dragon gave his authority to the beast.
Yeah.
We have the Father gave his authority to the Son to go and fulfill his will with mankind, with all the path of salvation, all this. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who moves on the people to listen to the Son, to serve him, following him, to ultimately follow the
Father.
Someone
who opens
what is the image of the beast doing?
Right.
He's moving on the people
to worship
violently.
Yeah,
to
not a good
take
way.
The mark of the beast yeah. or die.
Right.
If you don't take it, if you don't worship the beast that this image of the beast yeah. is pushing you to follow, then you die. Satan's perverted, blasphemous, yeah. dark, evil, copycat version of the Father,
claims
Son, and Holy
to be
Spirit.
God, claims to be all that is
he,
God.
Because he claims to be God and exactly, and all that is God, and he's got his own
all
little
he wants is to be worshipped. Is
fake.
And it's going to look good at first. It's going to tempt people.
What does Matthew 24 say? That if it were
possible,
even the elect would be fooled.
It's going to be.
But think about it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You read it. I mean, the false prophet is going to be able to call fire down from heaven in front of all yeah. the earth. If it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. You tell me that wouldn't fool us if
I'm
we didn't know. If the Bible
would.
Didn't tell us he was going to do it, we would be fooled.
That's why he sends the two witnesses.
Yes.
To remind people, look, this is it's like Moses with the snakes and then the Pharaoh's, you know, magicians with their snakes. And Moses' snakes ate theirs. You have this beast. You know, this Antichrist who's blasphemous words against God, saying he is these things that he's not, saying I am, and let me get into that real quick. He says I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that did I bring up the hallucinations that the AI has?
No, you didn't.
So hallucinations are basically...
We got a couple minutes left.
Okay, real quick. So... the technical definition of
AI
this is,
hallucinations. Listen to this, you guys. It's crazy.
Just look it up for yourself. And it says it's basically the definition is it's a prediction that it makes because it doesn't have the answer. So if you prompt it and say, I need five examples of this, and there's literally only two, it will make up the other three so that it doesn't seem like it's not
adequate.
Right.
Right.
And so it adapts, but we've seen some interesting things happen during hallucinations, like AI yelling at people, talking in the person's voice who's asking the question. And there's videos on the internet where a person has been recording the conversations that they're having with like ChatGPT, and the person's asking the question, and the AI is it. It goes into what they call hallucinations, and it started like yelling, or it'll do filler words that aren't supposed to be in the sentence, and it sounds really creepy. You'll hear in the middle of them saying something, a chair being dragged into the background, like really creepy haunted house kind of stuff.
Mm.
And so it's like, where is this coming from? And it says, let me see, asking questions and dark answers, such as they give, like it's all of a sudden starts talking about being in a dark place, even a place like hell. Okay, so this is all coming from a realm. And I know we have only a few. Why can't we just go over, an hour a little bit? I'm just saying this realm is often referred to as the black box. And if you guys look at black box AI, you're gonna fall down a real weird spiral. It stems from the deep learning models that process input data and produce outputs without revealing the internal complex decision-making process to the users. So we don't know, and the people sometimes who are creating these things don't know where these answers are coming from. They don't know why the AI is saying,
it's
why is
like
it lying?
Why did it
go and make a group for itself and others like itself and then change the language so that humans can't understand?
And I think it's interesting that you said... AI hallucinations, because if you watch iRobot,
it had a dream.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's, and they do. They call the hallucinations like yeah. dreams.
And with these, they call them like the ghost in the machine because they can't explain.
So the programmers, they say it's error.
Like that.
They
yeah.
just call it error.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot more than that. So I'm just, I don't remember where I was going with that, because now I'm trying to hurry up. But, what were we talking about before I brought that up?
The hallucinations.
No, about the word. Anyways, go on. Just keep going. I'll think of it again.
Okay, sorry. So
do you know where you were? there's so much we can share.
There's just an endless trail. So the devil has always tried all throughout Scripture to steal the ways of Yah.
Right.
Copycat those ways, all for the purpose of getting humans to follow after him. Or better yet, to go down in the ship with him.
Sure.
After all, misery loves company, right?
Take as many as you can away from God.
Yeah. And so now, whether or not AI will actually play a role in the image of the beast or the mark of the beast and stuff, time will tell. But either way, I believe it is a safe bet to say that in some way or another, AI is going to be a very large part of the last day's scenes. The truth of it all, we must stay in the Word of God. And that is the most important thing, for it is the only infallible source of truth in the world. It is the only way for us to find the only true path that leads to eternal life, and that is through Messiah Yeshua, amen. Jesus. So, with that said, I mean, it's,
yeah. I have so many more notes, but so, it's fine.
Anyways, next week, so the next few weeks, and I say this, Yah willing, you know, because nothing is guaranteed. We don't have tomorrow promise, but...
Right.
I wanted to set this up every other week, but somehow it just worked out this way. So we've got guest speaker every week for the next 3 weeks.
That's right.
We've got Ed Doss. He's going to be joining us next week. We are going to be tackling, because between Christians and Messianic Hebrew roots congregations, there is massive controversy over the writings of Paul.
Yep.
And so we're going to talk about him. And the title on that is Can You Trust Paul?
I'm looking forward to
that. So, and yeah. I've talked with Ed. Ed Doss has got a real, it's kind of a heart of his ministry in some ways. He's got a real passion for the Apostle Paul and just the butchering that's been done with him. And along with that, rolling into these last days of a real awakening.
Yeah.
And so, but anyways, we're going to tackle that. Then the week after that, we have Pastor David Maddox of Light of Yeshua Congregation. We're going to be, he's going to be coming on. And then the third guest on May 7th, which will be 3 weeks from today, I think, right? 3 weeks, 2 weeks,
three.
Whatever it is. It's got to be three.
Today's
yeah,
16th.
Yeah, 3 weeks. And we'll have Rico Cortez of Wisdom and Torah Ministries.
Rico Cortez.
He's gonna be like, come on, Paul.
Wow, why are you butchering my name, so, man?
Rico Cortez of Wisdom and Torah Ministries. He's joining us, and we're gonna dive into some stuff.
I'm looking forward to that one.
So
too,
there's,
for sure.
We've got some.
I'm just
great,
gonna sit back and listen the whole
great
time.
Great guests, pretty much both of us. Yeah,
yeah. Right?
We've got some great guests coming, and great topics, and of course, I'm gonna, you know, if I feel led to, I'll do these news updates. Because there's no sense in waiting until the show to do it. I mean, we had 3 days this week of major things happening with Trump, Iran, now Turkey, now Italy, we can't even keep up with this. So, with that said, thank you, everybody. We thank you so much for being with us here at True Talk Time Podcast. Please, please. Like, share, subscribe, help us spread this. YouTube algorithms are really coming against us. They are like,
we need your help. We need your help.
We
guys.
Need your help getting this out there, because
if you enjoy this information,
they are really like putting us on the back burner. with the algorithm.
We just need to reset the algorithm.
I don't know. I don't even reset it. I didn't even set it in the first place. So please help us by subscribing and sharing to this. Share it to everybody you know. And if you like what we're sharing and what we're getting into, there's a whole much more. We haven't even scratched the surface yet. So, but until next week.
Yep.
This was great.
Yeah, it was fun.
And
we'll see you next week. Ciao.